This is my submission for hysterical literature. I'm using a vibrator and reading about perception and cognition. Perception is a function of the environment. An individual conceptualization of perception that relied heavily on the nature of the external environment was offered by J.J. Gibson. Gibson's theory of ecological optics focused on the idea that in real-world situations, the sensory organs receive a complex array of information that can be directly apprehended and used to guide action. Gibson articulated the strong link between the environment and perception in the following way. Perception is the function of stimulation, and stimulation is a function of the environment. Hence, perception is a function of the environment. Notice from this framing of his theory, Gibson did not see the need for the organism to create complex internal mental representations of objects. Rather, he argued that the perception is accomplished mostly by the sensory organs themselves. This is captured nicely by the title of one of his influential books, The Senses Considered as Perceptual Systems, Gibson, 1966. As an example of the information in the environment that can be directly apprehended, Gibson pointed to the patterns in light and reflected from surfaces and the objects around us. He referred to his panorama of visual information available as we look out into the world from any given position as the ambient optical array, AOA, or the ambient array, see Gibson, 1966. Gibson noted that from every different viewing point, a unique pattern of light enters the eyes because it is reflected from and emitted by a unique combination of surfaces. Much of Gibson's work was devoted to examining how structures in the world are manifested in the AOA, and to show that these manifestations were sufficient for use to unambiguously perceive those structures. I don't know what I did, but I moved it just right. For example, Gibson noted that the environment is textured, and the texture consists of repeating patterns from the observer's point of view. These repeating patterns form texture gradients. Note, for instance, the pattern made by the cobblestones shown in figure 3.4. For the perspective of the observer standing on the cobblestones, the change in the pattern, which is normally believed to consist of equally sized stones, is interpreted as a surface that is going away from the observer, with the smallest stones being perceived as being smaller because they are further away. Thus, changes in the repeating patterns, typically believed to be composed of units that are the same, provide critical information about the nature of the surface. Gibson also noted that when two different textures intersect, they can create a discontinuity in the pattern, which he called a topological breakage. Topological breakage provides a useful indicator for edges of objects. Gibson also noted that surfaces of different degrees of smoothness reflect light in different ways, and the nature of the reflected light thus provides useful information about the smoothness of a surface. For example, a rough surface reflects light more widely than a smooth surface. This is illustrated in 3.5, where the solid lines indicate rays coming from a light source, and the dashed lines indicate the rays that have been reflected from two surfaces that differ in smoothness. Thus, the degree of scatter reflection, i.e., how widely light scatters, from objects tells us a lot about the nature of the object's surface. Critical aspect of Gibson's paradigm was that he included observer and environmental motion as a fundamental component of perception. Gibson argued that much of the classical theories and classical experiments, particularly those studying illusions, relied on the assumption of a fixed monocular perspective. For instance, from the appropriate vantage point, a trapezoidal frame can be made to appear rectangular. And this type of illusion has been argued to demonstrate the ambiguity of visual information. However, as Gibson pointed out, the moment you allow the observer to move about, even subtly, the illusion vanishes. Gibson believed that as the observer moves, the entire optical array undergoes a change. This change in the way all surfaces project light on the retina, is referred to as transformation of the optic array. The focus on movement led to the concept of the optic flow field, a continually changing pattern of information in the AOA that results from the movement of an object to the observer. Lost my place. Okay. Oh, fuck. Perhaps the simplest way of repeating an optic flow field is by generating moving dots on a computer display. Observers viewing this type of display can accurately identify the direction of motion relative to a target object, even when very few dots, or with only brief presentation times. An everyday example is the view from your car while driving. When you look out the front windshield while driving, the object straight in front of you... When you look out the front windshield while driving, the object straight in front of you, if you are facing in the direction you are moving, appear almost stationary, while near objects closest to the edges of your visual field appear to be moving by quite quickly. That doesn't make grammatical sense. McLean and Hoffman have shown that drivers use this information while navigating vehicles through bends in the road. In some ways, Gibson was strongly reacting against studies that relied on visual illusions as a means of learning about perception. Gibson wrote that his theory is concerned in the first place with veridical perception, and only in second place with illusions and errors. He believed that illusions revealed aspects of vision that were not particularly relevant for everyday life. He was more interested in studying situations where an individual is moving and directly picking up information from a complex, changing world. Thus, Gibson's framework is not very useful for understanding the illusion of clarity or time-space discussed earlier. Gibson persuasively argued for the importance of ecological considerations in cognition. His arguments have certainly remained influential. Many of today's more successful theories are best seen as hybrids between the extremes of classical cognition's purely internal mechanisms and Gibson's heavily environment-driven mechanisms. Gibson's contributions were vital in pulling attention away from the simplified, reductionist stimuli of his time and to the dynamic, meaning-laden environment of the real world, spurring radical new approaches to understanding the relations between environment, perception, and behavior. Should we keep going? Because I really do want to come again. And I can't just simply come. I should probably read to make it fit in this audio. Okay, we'll keep going because I'm like super fucking close. Pattern recognition. As we noted above, Gibson's theory of perception was based on the idea that perception is a function of stimulation from the environment. Now we will turn to other theories of perception, known as theories of pattern recognition, that also emphasize the characteristics of the stimulus. However, theories of pattern recognition differed from Gibson's views in at least two ways. First, they do not consider the complex array of light information reflecting from all surfaces and objects, as Gibson's theory does. The focus is primarily on specific objects or patterns. Second, they focus on how it is that we build internal representation of objects during the process of recognition, which was not the goal of Gibson's theory. He focused on how information is directly perceived. The phrase pattern recognition came from computer science, where it refers to a computer's ability to identify configurations, such as the account numbers on blank checks. It's an analogous manner. Analogous manner. People are able to identify many of the configurations by which they are presented. You are able to recognize the words in this sentence as words and not just a meaningless squiggle. To take another example, when we are confronted with a small cylindrical object with a handle, we recognize it as a coffee cup. I can't even read. Currently, machines outperform humans in highly constrained situations, such as ensuring alignment of printed labels on medicine bottles. But humans outperform machines in real-world tasks, such as face recognition. Not anymore. Recognizing a configuration involves contact between the emerging percept and memory. This process is sketched in Figure 3.7. Suppose you are shown the letter A on one occasion. We can imagine a sequence of events whereby you are forming a percept of the letter A, and then a memory trace for the letter is formed. The phrase memory trace refers to the trace of our experience that is left in a memory. In order to recognize the letter A, should it appear on another occasion, your emerging perception of A must somehow make contact with the memory trace of A. The process whereby an emerging perception makes contact with the memory trace is called the Hofding function, named after a 19th century Danish psychologist. Fuck. Template matching. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, the word template originally meant a gauge or guide to be used in bringing a piece of work to its desired shape. Such a guide might have edges corresponding to the outline of the finished box. For example, if you were painting letters, you might make a cutout or stencil of the letters you want to paint. The cutout is a template. It is possible that we store templates in memory that correspond to the standard forms of the configurations we see. The process of template matching would involve comparing the current configuration with the standard in memory. The standard can be a specific memory of an object or a prototype of the object, which is the very representation of the object in memory. Thus, a letter can take one of many different forms. Here is the first letter of the alphabet in lowercase, printed in several different fonts. Ah, 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 ah. Not gonna lie, that was really fun. And my clit is sufficiently numb. I hope you all enjoyed it.